Last week we talked about the trials of the saints. We discussed, if you remember, how you might be tried on what you love. Sometimes the Lord will try you on what you have. Sometimes the Lord will try you on what you're passionate about. Sometimes the Lord will try you just on what you can endure. This week I wanted to go over something that hopefully I think will be much lighter and easier. Something that will be an encouragement and maybe even a challenge at the same time. This week I would just like to preach on the walk of the saints. The walk of the saints. So before we get any further, let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for a chance to be here on a Sunday morning. It is good to be in the house of God. It's good to be with these folks. I appreciate everyone that has taken time out of their busy schedule to be here on Sunday morning. Father, I do ask that you would bless them for that. Father, I'm sure there are folks that would like to be here that for whatever reason were unable. Pray that you would watch over, bless, take care of them, keep them safe as well. Lord, for now, just set aside the cares and concerns of the world for a little bit as we come before you. Pray that you might meet with us. Lord, you know what these folks need better than I do, and so I pray that you would minister to their hearts. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about, again, like I said, something a little more light and simple. Just basic Christianity things, talking about the walk of the saints. And one of the things that a Christian needs is a Christian needs just basically a faithful walk. It says in 1 Corinthians 4, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards," that would be us, right, "that a man be found faithful." It is a simple thing, and it's things that we talk about all the time in Christianity, but ladies and gentlemen, the Lord would like to find you and I faithful. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I know that most of you are very familiar with this passage of Scripture, but in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." God made everything out of nothing. Amen? And you go through the chapter. I won't take the time to read through all of it, but of course we know Hebrews chapter 11 as the faith chapter. And the writer, probably Paul, goes in and gives some examples. If you look at verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel." And it brings out Abel as an example. Verse 5, "By faith, Enoch." Enoch is lifted up as an example. Verse 7, "By faith, Noah." Verse 11, "Through faith, Sarah." We talk about Sarah. Later on in the chapter, we see, of course, Abraham. We see Isaac, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, women, those that suffered, and those that were martyred. And they all had one thing in common, all of them. They walked by faith. Amen. Amen. They were faithful. It says that faithfulness in the Christian walk, ladies and gentlemen, is a requirement. It's something that you and I are expected to have, something that you and I should be aware of every moment of our Christian life. It's just staying faithful. If you think about it, faithfulness is required for salvation, right? Your walk as a Christian starts with faith. We're saved by faith, right? Not by works. We all know that here. Hopefully, if you're here this morning and you've actually never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and maybe, you know, sometimes people come from church backgrounds where, yes, they're accustomed to hearing things about faith, but mixed in with that is all this, you know, this extra stuff of being a good person, works, getting baptized, making sure you join the church, making sure you take communion, all these other list of things. And what winds up happening, unfortunately, just with the way men's minds work, is we begin to take all of those things and see that as what is necessary to please God and get this thing we call salvation. And the reality is, none of that stuff really matters except for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting Him as your Savior. The bottom line is you and I could never work enough to be saved. We could never earn our salvation. Even if we tried, we could never walk a life that is perfect enough to satisfy the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus Christ is the only man on this earth that ever walked a sinless life. And the wages of sin is death. One sin was enough to get Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden. One sin was enough to get the earth, the creation, and all of mankind's descendants cursed. And it wasn't even what you and I would call a big sin. It was just eating from a tree God told Eve and Adam not to eat from. So trying to live a life that somehow attains a spiritual level that will achieve salvation is never going to work. Amen. However, turning to the Lord Jesus Christ simply in faith and realizing that man is God. He came down on this earth to die for me. He shed his blood on the cross so that he could pay for my sins. You know what? I'm going to put my faith in what he did because he can do it better than I can. It's that really that simple. I have the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ can pay for my sins better than I can. Right? Faith is required for salvation. I was talking to Bob Converse on Friday. Went and saw him. What a blessing it was. Brother Kevin's dad, and most of you, you know, some of you may not know, but Brother Bob lost his wife last year. Had been married for 53 years. Wow. 63. Man, he's older than I thought. Is he 92 or 3 now? A couple months, he'll be 93. So he's 92 right now and getting ready to turn 93 years old. And he's had some health issues, and last year has been a huge trial for him, and in and out of the hospital, and he had some cancer in his throat, had to have his voice box removed, and so he is, you know, but he's endured all that, and he wound up getting saved through this whole process. So he's a new Christian. At 92 years old, he becomes a new creature in Christ. What a blessing that is. And I went and talked to him today on Friday. Excuse me. I went and saw him on Friday, and it's such a joy to sit down with somebody and to see a 92-year-old man that no matter what you talk about in the Bible, he's smiling and encouraged about. Right? It is. I mean, it is just. It's a joy. He's. You know, we talked about where Satan came from. He asked. Who was going to win, God or the devil? I mean, he's asking all these basic, simple questions that, you know, that, again, somebody would have if they're interested in the Bible. And so we had this great conversation, and he's smiling, and he's giving me the thumbs up. And, we began to just talk about all these different things. And I'm sitting here looking at this 92-year-old man, and again, no disrespect. I have the utmost respect for Brother Converse. But what he reminded me of was a 5-year-old in Sunday school who just believes everything their teacher tells him. You know that time when your mind is so open and you just want to absorb everything and learn everything that you can about the Bible. That's what he reminded me of. Regardless, and we went to a few different passages in the Bible, and I read some stuff for him in Revelation about the end and, you know, the 1,000 years and Satan getting bound and all that kind of stuff and New Jerusalem, and he's so looking forward to that, and he's sitting there beaming. And you know what? I was sitting there watching him, his face, and there was not a doubt in his mind that what we were reading or what I was telling him was true. Amen. What a place to be. He is so looking forward to going home to meet his wife once again. Amen? I mean, that's real to him. That's a very real thing to him. And like I said, it reminded me of a young child in Sunday school, and they're innocent and they're open and they're willing to just learn and absorb. Tell me more about this man called Jesus. It is an amazing thing. What is that? That's just faithfulness. That's a faithful walk. right? A faithful walk. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Amen. And I watched in that 92-year-old man of an individual that just had they were a sponge and they just believed it. Why? Just because it was in the Bible.
That's
walking by faith, right? It says, sometimes we think living by faith is difficult. Do we have to go through what Abraham went through? Do we have to go through what Paul went through? Do we have to go through what some of these great heroes of the faith that we read about in Hebrews 11 went through? And they went through some great trials. But the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, walking by faith starts small. It says in Luke 16, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. You know what the Lord's looking for? The Lord's looking for a Christian and Christians that will just walk and just do the little things. Just be a little faithful. Right? Now, I know it's not going to stop there. Once you start down that road of being a little faithful, you'll find that your faith will increase, your faith will grow, you'll be challenged, and you will be faithful in the large things as well. That's the principle the Bible lays out. But it all starts by just having faith and walking in the simple things. Here was this old man lying in bed, not strong enough to get up and walk around the room like you and I do and take for granted. Most of us. And yet, he demonstrated a simple, childlike faith that was so great in strength. That's what the Lord's looking for. It says a little further down in Hebrews 11, it said, these all died in faith, 11:13, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Hey, that's where Bob's at right now. He hasn't received all the promises that he knows coming, that he knows are coming, everything that's ahead, but he can see him afar off. They're as real to him and lying in that bed right now as they were to Jesus Christ when he was writing down the Bible. They were to John as he began to write down those things. He looked at those things and he saw them afar off. And it says in Hebrews 11, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. That's a faithful walk. Just taking those little things that you and I know about God, that you and I are taught about God, and seeing them afar off. Maybe they haven't come to fruition just yet. But man, I can see them. I can see them. I can embrace them. I can be persuaded of them. Listen, when we think of faithfulness, you think of creatures. I think of dogs. Dogs are known to be faithful, right? There's a dog. Her name is Sissy, and she's a miniature schnauzer. And she escaped her family's home and wound up showing up at the hospital where her owner was. The lady was in the hospital, and the dog escaped the house, and the husband's running around frantically trying to find the dog. Now his wife's in the hospital, and now he's got two dogs, and one of his favorite pets is missing, and the dog turns up at the hospital. Right? He looked everywhere, and he got a call several hours later that somebody had found the dog, and sure enough, that dog was so faithful, traveled and managed to find the hospital where the owner was at and was sitting outside waiting for the owner. That's an amazing thing. There's another dog, Masha, in Russia, in Siberia. And that dog did something very similar. But that dog had been going to the hospital every day, because that's where its owner was, for 2 years. Now, what the dog didn't know was that a year prior to that, the owner had died. Yet, every single day that dog would travel and wind up at the hospital where, as far as the dog knew, that's where my owner is. Every day for 2 years. Brethren, that's a dog's faithfulness. Right? That's a dog being faithful to his owner. It is an amazing thing. There was, the staff, of course, takes care of the dog. There was another dog called Captain. And Manuel Guzman died in 2006. And this was his dog. And after he died, the dog disappeared from the house. And everybody was frantically searching for the dog, looking all over for the place. And they couldn't find the dog. Well, the family happens to go to the graveyard every Sunday. Guess where they found the dog? They tried to take Captain home several times after he went to the grave, but the captain would keep getting out of the house and would travel back to the graveyard. They don't know how he found the graveyard because they had never taken him to the graveyard. The dog just escaped and showed up at the graveyard where the owner was buried. And every once in a while, the dog will leave the graveyard and go back to the house, but by nightfall, it always heads back to the graveyard. And that dog has consistently been living at the graveyard. And every night, it runs around during the day, and every night by about 6 o'clock, that dog goes and lays down at the grave of his owner. Man, that's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. And that's from a dog. All right? Luke 19, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. You know what the Lord's looking for out of us in our Christian walk is just a little faithfulness, right? Paul said, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. You know what God's looking at from each one of us is just a little measure of that faithfulness that he can look at and that he can use. It's part of our Christian walk. Sometimes, hopefully, we're to the place in our Christian walk where we just kind of take that for granted. But if you've never started down that journey, it starts by small little steps. Right? You can't be expected to go like that dog for 2 years showing up at the hospital every day if you've never even developed a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord is looking for that. He is looking for that faithfulness, and the Lord is faithful to you too, right? Amen. You know, faithful is he who calleth you, who will also do it. God's just as faithful to you as he wants you to be to him. But faithfulness is the walk of a Christian ought to first and foremost be a walk of faithfulness. In 1936, there was a shepherd in Montana. And he became ill, and he had to be rushed to the hospital. His dog, Shep, refused to be separated from his owner and began chasing the ambulance and followed the vehicle. Eventually, they realized that this dog was going to get himself killed. They stopped and let the dog into the ambulance. The shepherd, the man, unfortunately, died. When the man's body was taken out of the hospital, they actually took the man's body to the train station to be transported to where he was going to be buried. And that dog followed and watched the casket as they loaded it on the train. The train then, took off. For the next 5 years, every time a train arrived at that train station, that dog would get there and start greeting all the passengers getting off of the train looking for this owner. That's an amazing thing. They say the dog, became old. Of course, the staff was helping take care of the dog and that thing, but there was 4 trains a day that would come in, and every single one of those trains for 5 years, that dog would show up and begin to search for his owner to get off the train, because that's the last place that he knew of. The dog got old and became deaf and was having problems with his sight, and one day he failed to see the train approaching. And he was hit by the train and killed. And they put a bronze statue up in recognition of that dog who was just patiently waiting to be reunited with his friend. That's how you and I ought to be when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We don't know when he's coming back, but every single day we ought to be there looking and be waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. And that's a faithful thing for us. Dogs can do it. And you know what the Lord does? The Lord appreciates it when he sees that in you and I. Watching and waiting. One of the things that a Christian should have is a walk. A saint should have a walk that is faithful. I'll tell you another thing that a Christian should have. A Christian should have a walk that is fervent. It says in 2 Corinthians 7, not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. In Romans it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So we're talking about a fervent walk. A fervent walk is an earnest walk. It's an excited walk. It's glowing. It's a walk full of zeal. It's a walk that, you know, fervent's like, I gotta go. You're supposed to have a fervent walk. And in these two verses, you begin to see that the spirit and the mind are connected. It says in Ephesians that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the what? The spirit of your mind. Your spirit and your mind are connected. Your spirit's supposed to be fervent. Your mind is supposed to be fervent. Right? Those two things are connected. It's a combination kind of who you are. And in the martial arts, we talk about having a focused mind, body, and spirit, right? It should be something that you're fervent about. It's when a person in the martial arts world, when a person becomes focused, when they become fervent, they can accomplish some pretty great things. They can do some amazing things. It's, you know, it's part discipline, it's part drive, it's what we call focus, fervent. It's being excited about what you're doing. And it works that way in the natural world when it comes to the things like the martial arts. So, you know, the concept of being fervent can certainly be applied to worldly things. Here's another example of somebody that was fervent. Babe Ruth, right? I mean, you got to admit, he may not have been the greatest role model, but he was fervent when it came to baseball. In 1923, he broke the record for the most home runs in a season. You guys, I'm sure, have heard some of the stats on him. The same year, he broke the record for the highest batting average. That's pretty good. He held a lot of records, right? What does it take to get to that level? It takes some zeal. It takes some fervency. It takes being excited about what you're doing. It takes some drive. It takes some discipline. It takes some striving in order to get that good at anything in this life, right? There's a third record that he broke that year that most people don't know about. In 1923, he struck out more times than any other player in the major leagues. Right? And I know that you know that example is used and you've heard it, but it's kind of funny. He had all three of those records in the same year. What does that tell you? Well, I tell you, it tells you he wasn't afraid to get out there and give it a try. Amen. Hey, man, everything is on the line. We're either going to strike out or we're going to get a home run. And I know that every time he was up to bat, that was the case, but that was his attitude. What was he? He was fervent. He went out there and win, lose, or draw, he gets up to the plate and he is going to give it everything that he's got. He's just being fervent about it. He's just going to strive. He's going to try his best. Obviously, we know that he had the lifetime total home run record of 714 home runs that lasted for 39 years until Hank Aaron broke it in 1974. He had other records. He had 714 home runs, but he had 1,330 career strikeouts. All right, you do the math. Not quite 2-to-1 ratio, but getting pretty close. Right? And he held that record for the most strikeouts for 29 years until it was broken by somebody else. You probably never heard of him. Mickey Mantle. What are we talking about? We're talking about, you know, the Lord, a Christian's walk. The Lord requires us to be faithful, wants us to be faithful, and strives for us to be faithful and all those things. But he also wants you to be fervent. He wants you to be, you know, strive and try and be, have some zeal and try to be excited about the things of the Lord. And he wants you to give it your all when it comes to your effort. You say, well, I strike out a lot. So what? Right? When did that stop anybody who ever achieved anything great? You take a look at people that are great, and I'm not going to go into all that. There's not time. You take a look at folks that are great and have had great accomplishments, whether they be worldly or whether they be spiritual, what you'll find is a trail of successes, but you'll find a whole bunch of defeats along the way. It's part of the game. It's part of the game. And the Lord's not really worried about, how many of you are really worried about how many times Babe Ruth struck out? You don't care, do you? When you think of him, you think of how many home runs he hit. But he struck out almost twice as many times. But you don't think of that. You get to Hebrews chapter 11, and you read the faith chapter, and you're reading all these names about faith, and you don't read any of the stuff that they did bad. Amen. That's how the Lord sees it. He remembers your home runs. But along the way, you're going to have a few strikeouts. Right? But the Lord's interested. The Lord's interested in your fervency. Listen, spiritually, you know how to walk fervently for the Lord? Right? You walk fervently in your, you know, it's a function of your mind. It says in Isaiah, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose what? Whose mind is stayed on thee, because thou trusted in thee. You just walk, listen, it's not a big secret. It's not some, I don't know if you'll take this right or wrong or whatever, but you don't have to have your nose in the Bible or your earpiece in listening to preaching 24 hours a day to be spiritual. The Lord gave you some other responsibilities. Now don't settle for 30 seconds either. Okay? Right? Half a verse. Oh, I read my Bible today. I mean, you know, that's where your fervency's got to come in. But again, the Lord's looking for you to be faithful in a little. And he'll reward you greatly for that faithfulness. You know, stay spiritually to walk fervently. You just got to keep your mind stayed on the things of the Lord, right? Hey, when you're going about working, taking care of the normal necessities throughout the day, right? Your mind is concentrating on what you're doing, but in the back of your mind, the Lord's there. And you get to the place where you get stuck, and what's the first thing you do? swear, or say, oh, Lord, help me with this. There you go. It's that simple. Right? Where's your mind stayed at? It's that fervency. You ought to be fervent in prayer. The Bible talks about being fervent in prayer in James 5. It says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yeah. Right? So how do you walk fervently? Okay, well, you keep your mind focused on the Lord. He's always there. He's right there, ready to be accessed at any moment. Right? You're fervent in your prayer. Your prayers are meaningful. Right? Good bread, good meat. Come on, let's eat. It's great when you're three. Maybe. I think even our three-year-olds did better than that. But a little bit of fervency, and you know what you can realize? You can find out, hey, there's things I can be asking the Lord about. Because folks need help. There's people that I know that are going through trials. They need help. You can be fervent in prayer. The Bible also talks about being fervent in labor. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently. What is that? Okay, take the opportunities that you have and labor for the Lord. You still have all the responsibilities that you have in normal life, but you have opportunities to labor for the Lord. Okay, be fervent about them. Hey, give it a try. You try to witness to somebody in your family? Okay, give it a try. Strike out or home run? I don't know. If you're anything like Babe Ruth, you're probably going to strike out twice as many times as you get a home run. Of course, when you apply it in the spiritual realm, it's probably more going to be more around the ratio of 10 to 1. If not worse. But it doesn't matter. It just, the Lord's after just a little bit of fervency, right? And there's another thing the Bible talks about being fervent in. It says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Yes. Right? For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. What are we talking about? We're talking about the walk of the saints. And the walk of the saints begins with faithfulness. But brethren, as you begin that walk of faith, that whole concept of being fervent in what you're doing sure creeps up. Right? You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. But you need to stay fervent in your walk. Finally, to wrap things up, a Christian's walk, the walk of a saint, is a walk that is fruitful. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And it is a walk that... it is a walk that the Lord has got you. The Lord has got you in this thing with faith. You show a little bit of fervency, and what is going to begin to happen is your Christian life is going to begin to bear fruit. You ever? Now it's nice when you come up on an orchard, and somebody has already done all the labor, all the work. They've done all the fertilizing, the sprinkler pipes are in place, the irrigation systems and everything, and you walk up to this orchard in the time of harvest, and it's just full of fruit. And you think, wow, that's great. But that's not how each one of those trees started. They started as just this little twig. And that little twig was planted. And that little twig was tended to, and that little twig was watered, and it eventually grew up, and it eventually began to sprout some branches and some leaves, and after a while you begin to see a few flower buds on those branches and around those leaves, and some of those trees, it takes a few years before they're ready to produce fruit. Right? A fruitful walk doesn't happen instantaneously. A fruitful walk starts with just being faithful. And then you add to that faithfulness some fervency on your part. And then you strike out a whole bunch of times. And then you just keep at it, you keep at it, you keep at it, and things start, you know, sometimes it seems like you're never going to get a base hit again. And then eventually you get a base hit. Oh, big deal. Then I got thrown out a second. Then you get up to bat the next time and it's a foul ball. Then you strike out. And then every once in a while, you get up and you hit a home run. Right? That faithfulness begins. That fervency keeps you going. And if you keep up with those two things, that faithfulness and that fervency, eventually what happens is that tree, the more you strive and the more you strike out, that tree begins to grow and those branches begin to become a little bit bigger. And those leaves begin to become fuller and the blooms become more abundant. And before you know it, you start producing fruit on that tree. And you know as well as I do, if you've ever grown anything, it's exciting to go out and look at the buds and go, that's going to be a strawberry. Amen. That's going to be an apple. Right? Hey, there's a carrot underneath them leaves right there. And you begin to look forward to the fruit. And I know that, Proverbs 11:30, it says, for the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Right? Part of the fruit that you and I can expect is typified by a tree. You know, a tree is a type of a Christian producing fruit. And the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Right? If you're a Christian, you keep at it, eventually you're going to win some. You may strike out a lot, but eventually there'll be some fruit that pops up. There's other fruit that pops up in the Christian life as well. You know the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All right, you take a look at Galatians 5:22 and you look at that list of fruit. You know what the Lord's interested in? The Lord's interested in how much of that fruit do you have in your Christian life? I mean, I don't have the time to go into it today, but in the Bible, there's a whole lot of different things that are fruit. Right? And the Lord's interested in you bearing much fruit. And there's a lot of different ways you can bear that fruit. You give yourself that spiritual test. Right? How am I doing when it comes to love? Joy. Joy is a big one. Peace. That's a big one. Long-suffering, right? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And you go through that list and you just kind of give yourself a little score and you say, okay, how big is my tree in that area? How big is my tree in that area? How big is my tree in that area? And ultimately what the Lord wants is for you to have a forest of mature trees, right? It's a fruitful walk. You and I as a Christian, if we just stay faithful and we continue trying to be fervent, you can't help but bear fruit. The fruit's going to come. It says in Proverbs 12:14 that a man should be satisfied with the good by the fruit of his mouth. Right? What is that? The fruit of a Christian walk is your offspring, right? Winning souls. It is your countenance, your love, joy, peace, long-suffering. It's all those fruits of the Spirit. And it's your speech, just three good areas there that you can check yourself and say, hey, how am I doing as far as a fruitful walk? Because a walk of a saint should be fruitful. Right? Wrap things up. We talked last week about the trials that saints go through. This week, very simply, we just talked about the walk of the saints. Folks, it's, again, simple, easy, basic Christian concept. The Lord expects us to walk in this way. He expects us to walk faithful and to be faithful and to stay faithful. Hey, how would a marriage be if there was no faithfulness involved in it? Right? Not what you desire. Faithfulness, there's a lot to it. The Lord expects the saints to walk fervently. Right? Hey, get up there and take a swing at the pitch. Give it a try. You say, well, I'm scared. I'm too afraid to, you know, try that kind of Christianity. Hey, man, who cares? Babe Ruth had to get over that fear just to get up to the plate. And the reason why he was so successful is because he faced that fear that everyone has. Don't you think when Babe Ruth was a little kid and he began to stand in front of a plate, and maybe he had a pitcher that was a little bit older than him who threw a little faster than he was used to, don't you think it kind of got his attention at first? I mean, name a sport where that doesn't happen. You're out there on the football field and, you know, you're 7 and you're playing against some kid who's 12 years old and he's ready to cream you, right? You know, for some of you Northerners, you're on the hockey rink. Well, never mind. Andre never had that problem. He was the big kid. Hey, man, no matter what sport you're in, at some point in time when you begin, there's that little fear factor. And you're a little uncertain. Christianity, the walk of a saint, is no different. It's a little intimidating sometimes. But if you just stay faithful, you show some fervency, I promise you this, you will produce fruit.
Amen.
Right? How do I know that? You reap what you sow. Another biblical principle. Not that hard, right? The walk of a saint. Faithful, fervent, and fruitful. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for an opportunity to be here. Lord, these things that we have gone over, certainly basic, simple Christian principles, but Father, they're things that we need to be reminded of and things that we need to strive for. Each and every one of us has got an orchard that's growing. And Lord, your desire is for that orchard to be fruitful in, quite frankly, a lot of different areas. And so just ask you to help us to look at our own orchard and to check and see if we're bearing fruit the way that we ought to bear fruit. Help us, Father, to be faithful, to be fervent, and Lord, we trust in you to provide the fruit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll turn.